Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am good, except for the topic that we got to talk about today.
I know. It is so sad,
you know, when you start seeing the things that are taking place, you know, in our culture, in our society, and, you know, always, you know the things that seem good at a time, you know, the pleasures of things or the consequences of things, when you make them in the heat of the moment, it's like down the road, and you have to think about it, you know.
The Bible says that sin is pleasurable
for a season. For a season, yeah.
But then you have to pay the consequences.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, you think about, you know, one of the commandments, you know, of 10 things that God gave us to really make a priority.
Only 10.
And obviously we're not saved by the law, but he gave us 10 principles to live our life by that Jesus fulfilled. And one of them is, you know, thou shalt not commit murder.
Murder.
Right.
You would think that'd be like the easiest of the 10, right? I mean, not to commit murder.
You would think, because I know when somebody's trying to kill them, they're calling the police and saying, somebody's trying to kill me, or somebody's trying to break in, or somebody's trying to attack me. But for some reason, if you don't have a voice, if you don't have a voice, it's like you don't count.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I think about, you know, children that can't speak yet. You know, they're still in their toddler or their younger baby phase. You know,
yeah,
and
sure.
you're feeding them and that type of thing. They can't talk, but at least you can see them communicate with their eyes and they're looking at you. But if they're just a couple days younger than that, if they're still in their mother's womb, I mean, they're right there. You know, and they've been knit together. If they were brought out through a cesarean section at that moment, then the baby would be breathing and living and is alive right there as well. But yet for some reason, they have people that, I remember that one of the candidates for president, it was Hillary Clinton, that she said up until the last day before the baby's born, you know, that you can take the kid's life.
She was totally okay with that.
She was totally okay with that. And I know that President Trump, but he wasn't president, then he was running for office, he said, that's sick or something like that.
He said, I'm not okay with that.
I'm not okay with that. And America's not really okay with that, but it just matters on who gets the camera put in their face. And so we're starting to see things right now. I think about Senator Rand Paul, right? Didn't he just put a bill, an amendment up before the U.S. Senate?
He sure did.
And there's two senators per state, 50 states. You're looking at 100 senators there. So he has to get a majority, right?
Absolutely.
To be able to pass this amendment. And it was amendment to what?
To defund Planned Parenthood.
Now, who's Planned Parenthood?
Planned Parenthood is an organization here in the United States that provides services for women, but one of the services that they provide is abortion. And they say that it's not a large percentage of what they do, that's a very small amount. However, your taxpayer monies and our taxpayer monies goes...
But you know, when we had on our program before about, you know, percentages, how you can work that out.
Oh, yes.
And what we had on our program was that if you can imagine going to a restaurant and they said, well, the most thing that we sell, the biggest percentage of what we sell is, you know, steaks or hamburgers or something. But what they included in the percentage was the napkin, the fork, the knife, the spoon, the salt was one thing, the pepper was another thing, the plate was something else, the glass was something else, the stuff in the glass. And so they used all that for their percentages to say that they don't provide, percentage-wise, a great amount of abortions.
Sure.
But the reports are, of course, according to, what is the man's organization that he did the research undercover,
David Delighton, Center for Medical Progress.
Yes.
But the truth is that any percentage... No matter how big or how small, it's still evil, still bad. It's like asking the surgeon, when you're going for an operation, do you want the surgeon to use the knife with a little bit of dirt or a lot of dirt?
You know, I look
dirt, because you're going to get sick.
Exactly. You can use another analogy other than dirt. But yes, I think too about, you know, I know we get to this vote, but, you know, people, and rightfully so, are concerned about children that are they're being separated from their mother, their father, who their mother or father is trying to come into the country
knowing
illegally.
The potential that their good child can be separated from them anyway. But
and some parents are really, you know, saying, well, maybe my child can get in and then they could have a future, whatever. But there's people that have no problem killing their own child.
No.
One, they're trying to defend and saying that they care about the child coming over the border. And the truth is, you know, all children should be important, including your child. Yeah. Your child's important. Isn't it amazing that that mother that many people, maybe it's you, that you're defending this mother, or you're talking all the time about, we got to stand up for people's rights, and she's willing to risk her life and her family's life to give her child a chance to come in, maybe illegally, coming into a country that they have a fighting chance for life and survival and a way of life. And you went ahead and took your life's child, your child's life, and she's willing to risk everything, even to go to jail, to get this free. It's just amazing. It's like, it's not
puzzling, isn't it?
Yeah, and anybody that has done that, once you get out of the fog, you realize this is not right.
Yeah,
this is not right. But listen, we had a chance. We heard all these people talk about running for office, so they were going to
defund Planned Parenthood, all this. Right. Well, they had a chance. Senator Rand Paul. This is what the article says. His bid to defund Planned Parenthood failed in the Senate just this Thursday by a vote of 45 to 48. His amendment was rejected. It would have barred Planned Parenthood and other abortion outlets from receiving federal funding.
I know that as soon as President Trump got in office, it's called the Mexico City Plan, I believe.
Yes, Act or something.
Yeah, he defended it in some way where it says that, because we were actually paying for abortions around the world.
And we didn't even know about it.
Well, we didn't know about it, but the moment he got into office, the first thing he end abortions where any funding, giving any federal money, I believe it is, to any organization outside of our nation, that part of their plan is to end the life of somebody's baby in the womb in another nation. We were aborting children in other nations. But it stopped.
You know. Literally. The day he was inaugurated was one of the very first things he did.
You know, we always talk of, you know, our program, we're always talking, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. The reason why is, how can we expect God to give us revival and a great awakening if we're still sacrificing our children out of convenience, out of greed, out of selfishness, and not willing to be able to have our children?
Yeah.
You know, and that this innocent bloodshed has to stop, I believe, for a great awakening to come. And so the second that he got into office, he ended the abortions that were going from being paid for by America around the world. And we're sorry for that happened in your nation by our country. Yeah. A lot of us didn't even know about it, but it's still happening inside of our country.
Well, this innocent blood that's being spilled out is still crying out to God.
Yeah, it does. Even Abel's blood, right?
Yeah, and God's going to deal with it. I mean, we're being judged, and we'll continue to be judged until this sick practice of killing babies, human beings, ends. In fact, now it seems that people are getting so emboldened by this that there was a movement that got started in the midst of all this called Shout Your Abortion.
What?
Shout Your Abortion.
I don't understand what you're saying.
This is a movement.
Have an abortion and shout it out to everybody?
Or if you had an abortion, their premise is don't be ashamed of it, but declare it. Be bold about it.
They're using that woman's pain and the terrible decision that she made, and and they're trying to get her to put it out there on film?
Put on Facebook, social media. It's a huge game. They're raising money on it, and they're having these women make videos to talk about what occurred. In fact, I want you to watch as this woman shares what happened the day.
Is this the shout out thing?
This is the shout out your abortion thing. This is right off of their website.
So you basically use your own camera or something and shoot it?
I don't know how it happens, but they upload all these testimonials, if you will, whatever you want to call them, of these women sharing their experience and how they were proud. They're excited. They didn't regret having an abortion. I want you to listen and watch this woman's account. She says, this is what occurred on the day that I actually had an abortion. What happened and what didn't happen?
Unashamedly.
Take a look.
My name is Sammy Detzer, and I had an abortion on May 20th, 2014. And here are a list of things that happened on that day. I had a blueberry Danish for breakfast. I walked from my apartment to the Madison Street Clinic. I received free healthcare from Apple Health on that day. I sat with my best friend in the waiting room while Let It Go by Idina Menzel played over the intercom. I took 3 Vicodin. I laughed really, really hard in the clinic. I cried really, really hard in the clinic. I had a small glass of orange juice in the waiting room afterwards, and I hugged the nurse who was there watching to make sure I didn't get sick. I ate an enchilada at the Mexican restaurant across the street. I took a 3-hour-long nap, and then I went to rehearsal that night. And here are a list of things that didn't happen. I didn't feel sad. I didn't feel angry. I didn't feel hurt. I didn't feel abandoned. I didn't tell the person who got me pregnant. And I didn't look back.
Even though she was saying the words that she didn't, I felt like in her spirit, everything was the opposite. She did feel sad. And she did feel those. I don't know why. I'm looking at her. I'm just looking at her. It's like I just saw her spirit, I guess, inside just saying, I don't know. You know, we're not women, but we know that, you know, God created us, you know, in his likeness. And the way the life is created, that even though men and women come together for that, is the fact that God knits that child together in your womb. And so he's working on your child and putting your child together. And it's amazing. They're still amazed today. They're still studying the DNA and how can one cell contain every part of your child's life, and they could rebuild every part of your child from that one cell. It's almost like when Adam was created and God wanted to create him a partner, he pulled woman out of him by laying him down and taking a rib out. And from one rib, he pulled the DNA out to create one woman. Mm. And then it came back together again. They became one. And in that union is where children come from. It's life. And so, you know, it's sad, you know, when you think about this. But I want to say this. I want to say, you know, you're going to hear in a moment about somebody who actually, you know, did it. And there's a lot of women that did it. A lot of men who told their wives or girlfriends to do it. They did it together, and some were forced to, and some just did it or whatever. But either way, there's like 75 million, I believe it is, since 50 plus million abortions that have happened since 1973, since this court decision, not a legislation decision, Roe versus Wade. And when you hear people talk about pro-life, they're talking about the preamble of the Constitution, that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So it's a constitutional thing they're talking about. And the life is that you have a right to that life. And you're entrusted with that. And I just want to just tell you right now that you did make that decision, and you'll hear in just a moment, that there's going to be a day, if that's you, and you're feeling like you don't feel anything. Well, once you get past the Vicodin, once you get past all your friends patting you on the back, and once you're all alone in this moment in time, the one who convinced you to be able to do that, this adversary in your mind and heart that spoke to you, will be the same one that torments you.
Yeah.
And I want to say this to you, that, you know, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And though that happened, and though it was murder, if you acknowledge, God, I took my child's life, I'm feeling it now, I'm sorry, God, and, you know, God, and say, would you forgive me? I want you to be the Lord of my life. He forgives you, and he will heal you when you thought you could never. You still have a scar there, and you can help other people not make that same decision. But there is a way to get healed from this, and that is the way through Jesus Christ. And if you can find out more how we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, at meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. We are just talked about a Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, just put an amendment for the U.S. Senate to defund Planned Parenthood, and it failed in the U.S. Congress. The very Congress, or U.S. Senate, that actually, you know, they're committing to saying we're going to do something about it, although I believe it would pass in the House right now. But it's just time for us to, you know, elections are coming up. Find out how people stand on these issues. Did you know you're the one that actually, if you're an American citizen, and because we're all around the world, you will pick who the next senator will be. You will pick who the next congressman will be. You'll pick who the president will be. So you can choose yourself if you want to have somebody who's going to continue to fund abortion and make abortion legal, or you can choose somebody who's going to go with the Constitution and go with God and say, listen, we've got to stop this, stop funding it, we've got to stop calling it legal when it's not, and we need to be able to end it. You decide with your vote. That's how you do it. So it's important to ask on these issues about the candidates. You know, where do you stand on life? How do you stand about all life? Because understand this, if we don't care about the life in the womb, they're not going to care about the life in the older ages. They'll start looking at you and go, the viability. As a matter of fact, Dr. Dobson wrote a book called Fatherless.
Yeah.
And you got to read this book because it goes straight into that, where people begin to do euthanasia on people, their mothers and their fathers, because they thought the viability of their life, and they could utilize their money better than the ones their parents. It was crazy.
That was one of the concerns about with the Obamacare. Some folks had that maybe the health wouldn't be provided, healthcare wouldn't be provided because it'd be too expensive for older people,
right,
keeping them alive. What could they contribute to our society at that age?
And they contribute
a lot.
And the value of life, how do you value life, answers the question. But if all of a sudden you don't value life, then it could go anywhere.
That's right.
It could go anywhere. As a matter of fact, that's what happened in Germany. It's what happened with Hitler.
Yeah.
The first thing he started going to is going to destroy the life of the disabled. And then he progressively worked his way all the way to the owners of the banks, which happened to be Jewish, or you know, the professors in the schools, which happened to be Jewish. But it started with the handicap. You know, where they went and began to the asylums and thought that they didn't have a viable life and started ending their life. You know, these are the reports. But John, here we are talking about abortion, but somebody here is sharing their story. I mean, who better other than we couldn't share it?
No, we couldn't share it. And so we brought you a segment about Shout Your Abortion, where a woman's actually celebrating her abortion.
Earlier before the break,
Earlier before the break, but now you're going to hear Alicia's story. And she's definitely not celebrating it. In fact, she's remorseful of what has happened. And she's actually encouraging women, you don't want to go this route. Some people feel that there's a justifiable reason. You know, there could be, what's that one justifiable reason that I should get an abortion? Well, there isn't any. Listen up and watch what Alicia has to say about her encounter and what happened to her.
Even going into it, I knew it wouldn't be neat or simple. I knew it would be messy. I knew it would hurt. But I wasn't prepared for this. I had been having an affair with a married man, and so I felt like having a child out of wedlock with someone who was married there was no way to come out of that pit of shame. There was no way that that child would ever be loved or would ever be accepted or could ever have a good life. Those are all the lies I heard in my head. I didn't feel like I had a choice. I felt like my only option was to have an abortion. I thought, maybe if I have this abortion, I can live with all of the turmoil inside and at least pretend on the outside to be okay. I was very afraid of mostly what other Christians would say if they knew I was pregnant, a single mom. I decided to go ahead and do the pill because that got rid of the problem. Quickly and easily, I thought. My understanding was the first set of pills cut off the baby somehow, and which begins to give the baby birth defects or brain damage or something. And then you take the second set of pills, which cause you to miscarry. And so I remember thinking when I took the first set of pills at the doctor's office, well, now I've given my child birth defects or brain damage. What kind of a mother would I be anyway? I wasn't prepared for the shame or anger at myself, the depression that followed. If I had it to do over, I would have my child. Even though it came out of something sinful, it would be hard and it would be scary, and I don't know how I would pay the bills. But I really believe that my life would be better today if I had a 7-year-old little kid. I really believe it would be better. It took me a long time to finally get out of that relationship. And when I did, I knew that I would have a lot of things to deal with and a lot of things that the Lord needed to set right in my heart and in my life. And one of them was going to be my abortion and the loss of my child. I guess one of the first things was just confessing it and saying it out loud and coming out from under the cloud of shame. Once it was spoken out loud, there was an immediate confrontation of everything that Satan had whispered to me. My parents loved me anyway. My friends loved me anyway. My family accepted me anyway. And that was not something I believed would happen. The biggest thing God wanted to speak to me was that in the middle of my messiness, in the middle of the little disaster I made of my life, He loved me. No matter what I did, He could make this good. He's able to make this good. And I wish I could impart to someone else that in the middle of that pain, in the middle of that whirlwind, in the middle of trying to make decisions or trying to suffer through the consequences of decisions, that the Lord is there and He is steady and He loves you and He will make something good come out of this, whether you've had an abortion or you're thinking about it now, that He is bigger than your pregnancy or He's bigger than your abortion.
Thank you, Alicia. Thank you. I know it had to be hard. It's hard for all of us to just acknowledge that we've sinned and that we've fallen short. Mm-hmm. It's like we knew it, but then once you say it, once you acknowledge it, once you just say it, and you realize how evil sin is, all sin's evil, and that, but then we know we can turn to God and we can ask Him, God, now I understand why You gave Your Son. You gave Your Son, Jesus. You sacrificed Him on the cross for this, for sin. I see. He didn't sin. I did sin. But because He didn't sin, I can be forgiven for this. You don't have to tell me to get excited about Jesus. You don't have to tell me to go gather with the church. You don't have to tell me I'm excited. He that's been forgiven much loves much. There's a reason why the prostitute was the one that washed Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears. Because Jesus said, he that's forgiven much loves much. And He said, this is going to be done as a memorial of her. He didn't say she was a prostitute or she got pregnant with these other children or anything like that. He said, she did what was right before Me and I forgave her. And she was so overwhelmed with that she could be forgiven and that sin would not be on her anymore, that she could actually be in right relationship with God, that she literally cried so much that she washed Jesus' feet with her tears. And you could see the tears from Alicia. She was coming as many tears. Maybe your tears are coming right now. You're not realizing this is God coming to you right now, just like that moment. And then she took her hair. Mary took her hair and she just dried Jesus' feet with her hair and said, you know, just communicating my love, just that body language of I'm willing to just fall at Your feet. Now, the religious folks were critical, and they were dogging, you know, God out and Jesus out. They were saying, He doesn't even know who's doing that. And it's like, He's God. Of course He knows. He knows her so much that He forgave her of everything that she's ever done wrong. That can be you. That could be you. Listen, they've been pushing this narrative. I'm telling you, they're trying to push us all to places that we thought, you know, sin can take you further than you ever want to go. It'd cost you more than you ever want to pay and cause you to stay longer than you ever wanted to stay. But let's guess what? No matter where you are in that, God can meet you there. He sent His Son to meet you there. While you still were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He has been in love with you from before the foundations of the earth. He's got a good plans for you. He can heal you. He can restore you. He can forgive you. But it begins with what Alicia said. You're going to have to say it. You're going to have to say, I aborted my child. In whatever condition it was. God already knows it. And if people are critical of you, just don't worry. They're critical of Mary at Jesus' feet. Mm. But she didn't care. What she cared was, can I get this load off of me, this heavy load of taking my child's life, you know, of living a sinful life? And God's going, yeah, I'll take that. I will take that load, but you got to give it to Me. And once you confess it, once you say, I've done this, this is true, I've done it, all the things that I told myself to make it easy is untrue, I'm being tormented on the inside, and I'm ready to get rid of that torment, God will accept you. He will accept you. And then you say, Jesus, I want You to be Lord of my life. You forgive me. I want You to be Lord of my life. Listen, we shared our testimonies at meetmyfather.org. It's meetmyfather.org. You can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray for healing right now over this couple that made this decision over financial reasons. I pray for over this lady right now. She's all by herself right now. She thought if she did this to the child, she'd still have the man. Now she's left alone with the wounds of their child that she took their life. God, I pray right now, Father God, that You would forgive them, that You would heal them, God. And Lord, we ask You, dear God, end abortion.
Yes, Lord.
Send revival.
Yes.
Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Amen. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.